In Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25, Jesus says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. Neither do they toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things do the heathen or the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry of its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Imagine for a moment, if one day you were to, say, take a knapsack or a little day pack, a backpack, and put it on your back, and walk everywhere, go to work with it, go to the gas station with it, go to the market with it, meet people, confront situations, and you had this backpack on. And everywhere you went, somebody gave you a stone about the size of a fist. Every situation you were confronted with, someone gave you a stone, you put it in your backpack. Now, at the beginning of the day, there'd be no problem. It would feel very light, very easy, not cumbersome. In fact, just a couple stones doesn't weigh much, no problem to deal with. But toward the end of the day, when that backpack of yours is filled with stones, how would you feel? Running around with this backpack full of stones. One stone doesn't weigh much. But you put so many together and it becomes a burden. In fact, it could strain your back or even break your back. Take the same knapsack or backpack and have a friend carry it for you. And the next day you're confronted with people and situations, and everywhere you go you get a stone, but you put it in his backpack. By the end of the day, gee, you're floating. He's the one that's carrying the burden. He's the one that has all the stones. You see, God knew what he was talking about when he said, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Jesus also knew what he was talking about when he said, don't worry for tomorrow. Sufficient is the day for the evil. He knew what he was talking about, because all of us take on cares like stones. All of us, every single day, confront situations or people or problems or problemed people who dump on you their problems. And each one of us are confronted with cares, whether it be a financial setback, whether it be loneliness, maybe a disease, maybe someone in your family has a disease. But they all cause you to care or have concern. Now, one of those cares or a few of those concerns is okay to handle, but pile them on top of each other and they become an awfully steep burden. If you could find some way to release those burdens and those cares, say, have someone else carry the backpack for you, it would be okay. And our problem so often is that we accumulate cares like layers, one on top of each other. And pretty soon those cares turn into burdens. And we're walking around with a great burden on our back. There's an old saying that says, you will eventually break the bow if you always keep it bent. You eventually will break the bow if you always keep it bent. For many people in the United States, the bow is already broken. Today, every day in the United States, 70 people commit suicide. That's every hour, 3 people take their lives. The stones have accumulated. The burden has become so great that it has broken them. They've given up. They haven't found a system or a way to release those cares. Now Jesus says in verse 25, therefore, I say to you, do not worry. If you have a King James, it'll say, take no thought for your life. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? You know the beautiful thing about the Bible is that it's just not a book filled with teachings of long bearded men, old men with long robes saying, thus saith the Lord, thiseth and thatteth. The beautiful thing about the Scripture is that it speaks directly to key issues. It's a very practical book, isn't it? Very practical. It's a rubber meet the road type of a book. And every situation that we are involved in as human beings, the Bible speaks directly to those key issues. And one of those issues is worry. And Jesus, in teaching his disciples about worry, for he taught the disciples, in fact, the Sermon on the Mount begins where Jesus took his disciples to a high mountain. The teaching of the Sermon on the Mount is not for the world, for those people who don't know Jesus Christ. It's for only Christians. You can't tell a non-believer, oh, don't worry, God will take care of you if he hasn't submitted his life to Jesus Christ. It's only for believers. And in teaching his disciples, Jesus, concerning worry, tells them to avoid it. He says, do not worry or take no thought for your life. In this section, in these few verses, Jesus talks about three things. One, what you shouldn't worry about. Two, why you shouldn't worry about them. And three, the cure for worry. So let's look at verse 25, what Jesus says. Therefore I say to you, take no thought, or literally, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Now the King James again says, take no thought for your life. And because of that, many have been misled into believing that Jesus is warning against not working, or against preparing for the future. And many people become lazy and indolent. And they go, oh, I don't have to worry about it. God will provide. He says, take no thought for your life. I'm not going to worry about it. So they become very lazy and sit around. And they say, oh, God provides. And then when God doesn't provide, because they've been lazy, they get all upset. God, why aren't you providing for me? I thought you'd provide for me. Jesus isn't teaching us that we should sit around and expect our dinner, our bread, just to float in through the door. Hover over the table, like some kind of a divine drive-in. Jesus isn't teaching that kind of life. Because he uses the example of birds, doesn't he? And birds just don't sit around, they're hard workers. They just don't sit around and open their beak toward heaven and say, come on God, drop one in. They out and they work for it, they look for it, they search diligently for food. So Jesus isn't teaching that we shouldn't plan for the future or that we shouldn't work. Jesus is teaching that we shouldn't be perpetually over-concerned with these things. Because the word take no thought you should put in if you have a King James, take no anxious thought. Or do not worry. Do not be perpetually concerned or burdened down about these things. About what things? Notice. Don't worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. What shouldn't we worry about? Food, drink, and clothing. What are they? They're the basic essentials of life, like food, clothing, and shelter. They're the basic everyday commodities of life that we're not to be worried about. Now, again, he's not saying don't think about them. Or don't plan for them, but don't worry about them. Don't be perpetually concerned about what you're going to eat, about what you're going to drink, about what you're going to put on your clothing. You know, it's amazing to notice how many people live within this narrow focus of food, clothing, and shelter. The narrow focus of what to eat, what to drink, and what to put on. And so many people, their lives revolve around just these things, don't they? They get a job. Why? So they can eat. Why do they eat? Well, so they can go back to work and so they can eat again. And so it's a cycle. They work so that they can eat, so that they can work, so that they can eat, so they have enough strength to go work again. Their whole life is a cycle. Or they work so that they can have better food or better drink or better clothes or a bigger house. And that's the motivation and the goal of their life. And so their whole lives revolve around that narrow focus of what they're going to eat, drink, and what they're going to put on. Jesus says, don't worry about these things, your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Go into a good bookstore sometime and look at the magazine rack. There are even magazines and books now on just what to eat and what to drink and what to put on. There's several fashion magazines. There's several cuisine magazines, the best restaurants, what to eat, how to mix the drinks. And there's a whole world created on just what to eat, what to drink, and what to put on. And so many people, they buy them and their whole life just revolves around the basic needs and basic essentials of life. Jesus said you shouldn't concern yourself about them. Not that you shouldn't think about them, but that you shouldn't overly concern yourself with all that. I knew a man one time, he's one of the richest people I've ever known. His house alone was, I think, nearly $2 million or over $2 million. Huge vaulted ceilings, imported paintings from Europe and all. He was the most miserable human being I'd ever met. Now, he might have made $999,000.99, or excuse me, he might have made $1 million, and I might have made $100. And my bills might have been $99, and his were $999,000. So we still had the same left over. He was struggling to still meet his needs, and he was always worried. You think with a man with that wealth and with that kind of a house and influence would be happy, people would think. He was miserable because now he had to maintain it. He had 3 lawyers that worked for him personally because he was constantly being sued. He was miserable because he was constantly worrying about what to eat, what to drink, what to put on, and his house. Even though he had more nice things to put on, he ate steak and lobster to my peanut butter, he still had to worry about them. Perpetually concerned. Now, the warning that Jesus gives is not only to the rich. You say, oh, I don't fit into this. I don't have those things. I don't have to worry. The poor can be just as guilty of perpetually worrying about what they don't have and wanting something that they don't have as much as a person who has all these things. Oh, I wish I had better clothes. Oh, I wish I had a better car, and I'm going to work for it. And their lives are revolving around that narrow focus of what they're going to eat, what they're going to drink, and what they're going to put on. Now, Jesus tells us what we shouldn't worry about. Basic life essentials. You say, wait a minute, I've got to worry about those things. I've got to provide for my family. Yes, you do. We need to live in a house. Yes, you do. We need to have clothes. Yes, you do. We need to have a TV set. Well, maybe not. But Jesus isn't saying, don't plan for those things, don't think about them. He's saying, don't over-concern yourself with those things. And Jesus, we don't need to outline this, it's so perfect, his sermon here. But now Jesus gives a list of illustrations and reasons why we shouldn't worry about basic life essentials. The first one is the second part of verse 25. He says, is not your life more than food and the body more than clothing? The first reason Jesus gives that we shouldn't argue is that God gave us a body, God gave us life. And if God gave us a body and God gave us life, can't He give us things to sustain and maintain that life? Will God fail in the lesser things, like a few meager clothes or food or something to drink to sustain us? If God created you, if God made you, God gave you a body, isn't He capable of taking care of you? So Jesus said, isn't life more than food? And isn't the body worth more than clothing? Yes. Now, you might not always eat steak. You might not always have what you think you need or what you want, but God will provide for your needs. That's the issue. You ladies might not always have a new dress, but you'll have something to wear. You've heard it say, the clothes make the man. I don't believe that. I think that the person makes the clothes. It doesn't matter what you wear. And you might not always have the nicest fashion or the best food, but God will take care of you. I guarantee all of you this. You might be going through tremendous difficulties, saying, yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. I don't hardly have any food at home. I guarantee you this, not sarcastically either, none of you this week will starve to death. Even if you didn't eat for a week, Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. None of you will starve to death. And if it comes to the point where you don't have any food, sell the television. A good test on where your priorities are. Oh, I don't have anything. Well, you got a TV, sell it. You get some money, you can buy some food. None of you will starve to death this week. The body is worth more than food. Life is worth more than clothes, even though it's not the latest fashion. Now Jesus goes on, and he says another illustration in verse 26. He says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Now as human beings, we do sow and we do reap and we do gather into barns. So Jesus, in comparison, says, look at the birds, behold, or study the birds. For they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Look at the birds, he said. This week, as I was studying this passage, in fact, this very line, my door was open in my office, and I heard this tweet, tweet, tweet. I looked outside, and there were birds. Beautiful little birds. They were kind of hyper running around. They were jumping up on the curb and then on the asphalt and then on the dirt. And they were looking for food. And they'd sniff and they'd run and they'd chirp and they'd find some food and they'd look somewhere else. And they were busy looking for food. But at the same time, they were singing. They were chirping. And what a lesson. They were so carefree. I believe that Jesus Christ would have us live very carefree lives. Not to be burdened with what we're going to put on, with what we're going to eat tomorrow, with what we're going to drink, but to live very carefree lives. The point that Jesus is making here with the birds isn't that birds don't work. Sure they work. The point that Jesus is making is that the birds don't worry about it. Look at the birds of the air. Your Father feeds them. They work for it. They go look for it, but they don't work. You ever see a bird with his face sunk down in his hands and a stressful look on his face going, oh! It's ridiculous. They sing while they look for their food. It's like little praise songs as they go through the day. You don't look at a bird and see that worry and stress and wrinkle lines. You don't see a bird going to a bird psychologist or something because he can't make ends meet. That's for the birds. Better go on. But in verse 26, notice what Jesus and how Jesus puts this. He says, look at the birds. Notice the last part of verse 26. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? The emphasis is on your. Yet your heavenly Father feeds the birds. Think about that. He's not their heavenly Father. He's your heavenly Father. You're the one he has a relationship with, not a bunch of birds. Yet he's your heavenly Father, but he feeds the birds. If your heavenly Father feeds the birds, won't your heavenly Father take care of you? That's the point Jesus is making. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Birds, insignificant creatures to us. They're really insignificant animals to human beings, the little birds. In fact, when I was a kid, my grandma grew peaches and pears and apples. And they would always, the birds would always come and try to destroy the fruit and eat, and it would ruin the fruit. So we wouldn't think twice of taking our little BB guns out there and shooting the birds to keep the birds away from the crops. Birds are insignificant to us. Have you ever seen a bird funeral? Or been to a bird's wedding? There's no big deal in the animal kingdom concerning that. To us, they're insignificant, but not to God. For God knows when one sparrow falls to the ground. And yet, if your heavenly Father feeds them and takes care of them and provides for their needs, won't your heavenly Father feed you? Said the robin to the sparrow, friend, I'd surely like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. Wisdom. Why do they worry so much? We don't worry. Our Heavenly Father feeds us. And I wonder if a bird could talk. And he's up in the tree and he sees us as we go to our cars, oh, fretting and worrying. What are we going to do? And concerned about what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to put on. Jesus goes a step further in verse 27 and he says this. And this is sort of funny. Which of you, by worrying, can add to one cubit to his stature? One cubit is 18 inches. Jesus is saying, which of you, by worrying, can add 18 inches to his height? Now, can you imagine somebody sitting down, worrying, fretful, wanting to grow another 18 inches? Oh, I'm so short, I want to grow 18 inches. And we laugh at that. We say, that's ridiculous. That's the point Jesus is making. It's ridiculous to worry. It doesn't make any sense. What value has worrying ever done you? What did you get out of it? What did it accomplish? Nothing. Worrying is of no value. So Jesus says, can you, by worrying, add one cubit or 18 inches to your stature? You know, it's so hard to be around people who worry. You ever known worry warts? And you're around them and, oh, it's just a strain to be around them. Nothing is good. Oh, I don't know. How's things going? Oh, not too good. See him next week. Any better? No, not really. Well, don't you trust God? Oh, yeah, I trust God, but things don't look good. Worry warts. I don't like to be around worry warts. It rubs off. You start going, man, am I missing something? It's hard to be around people who worry all the time. So Jesus says, can you profit anything? Can you add 18 inches to your growth or your stature by worrying? Now, let's take this and put it in modern times. Because even in the Old Testament, they would use measurements, linear measurements, to speak about a lifespan. Like, God measures with a span. David talked about his lifespan as the span of a hand. In other words, even by worrying, can you add years to your life? And I look at people today, the plastic surgery industry. And so many people are either concerned about being too young or too old. And the people that feel they're too old want to make up and look like they're young. And the people that look young want to, walk like they're old and mature, and they just aren't happy with the age God has made them. And they're worrying about these things, the facelifts and the nose jobs and the makeup and all. Which of you, by worrying, can add to your life? Then Jesus gives another illustration. Verse 28. Why do you worry about clothing? Stop. So why do you worry, he says, about clothing? This is a good question. Every time I go into a store and I look at people running around in the clothing section so frustrated, I think to myself this question. I feel like saying, why do you worry about clothing? And they're running around saying, and they're frustrated. Oh, it doesn't fit. Oh, what do I do? It's on sale. I got to buy it. It doesn't fit. Mom, what am I going to wear to the prom? And it's like World War II. Because nothing fits. I think, why do you worry about clothing? What is the big deal? Jesus says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. Neither do they toil nor spin. Sometime pick a flower and study it. Look at it real closely. Notice the petals and how they're formed and the pollen. And if you can ever get a microscope, put a petal under a microscope sometime and look how intricate and beautifully it's woven and sewn. And remember that your Heavenly Father, not the flower's Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father clothes them. And you look at some of the clothes that flowers wear and you go, man, that's gorgeous. And you can't match a set of threads to what the flowers wear. And so he says, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Solomon became a proverb to the Jews. You would often compare glory or something ornate to Solomon and his kingdom, because Solomon brought Israel to the heights of their splendor. He brought them to the peak. And Solomon was an incredible person. He built the first temple. Inside he had cedar wood overlaid with gold and beautiful marble. His clothes were very ornate and very beautiful. And so when a Jew spoke of something glorious and wanted to compare something, he would always use Solomon. Solomon was incredible. Jesus said even Solomon in all his glory wasn't clothed like these little flowers of the field. The flowers that Jesus is speaking of were little flowers that bloomed for only one day in Israel. And even today, couple weeks ago, we read this Sermon on the Mount where Jesus said it. And I looked around, and there's these little tiny purple flowers, like little straw flowers, little tiny, and they bloom for one day, they say, and then they're just grass. And what they would do is they would take these flowers, they would cut them, and they would put them in the oven to burn them. After one day, they're no good. They don't bloom anymore. And they would take the grass, they'd put it in the oven, and when they would cook their bread in these clay ovens, they would burn the grass, and the grass would burn so quickly and it would create such an intense heat, they'd use it just for fuel. So Jesus says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Flower is so small, so insignificant. It blooms one day and the next day it's dead and it's good for fuel. Even flowers you buy in the store, you buy them and they're on their way to dying. And in a few days, here honey, here's the flowers. Oh, they're beautiful. The next day, they're wilted. They're dead. This is a powerful argument Jesus says here against worry. Do you get this? He's saying, look, a flower is small, it's insignificant, it's transient, it only lasts but a short time. And you are immortal. You belong to eternity. You will live forever. And if God can clothe flowers that bloom one day so beautifully, and God has given you a body, and God has given you life, and you belong to eternity, and you're his child, can't he clothe you? So why do you worry about your clothes? That's the argument Jesus is saying here. These flowers are transient. They bloom one day. You will live on, and God will take care of you. But have you ever noticed how easy it is to trust God for eternity, but so hard to trust God for tomorrow? We say, oh, I trust God. I believe that I'm saved and I've heard it over and God's going to take care of me. I just know he's going to provide for me. And in the future and down the road, God will guide me. And I just know that I'll do whatever God wants me to do. But I'm just worried about tomorrow. And what's going to happen? I've got this bill to pay, or I've got this traffic ticket, or I've got this and all these things. And it's so easy to say, oh, I trust God for eternity, but when it's in front of us tomorrow, it's hard. So Jesus said, look at the flowers. And it's a good object lesson sometime to take a walk. Some of the best Bible study you can ever do is to go out and pick a flower and look at a bird. You look at a flower and go, God, that's gorgeous, but tomorrow it's going to be dead. And God will take care of me. But look at the clothing. That's gorgeous. You can't pick up that at May Company or Sears. And yet God clothes them. And look at the birds. They don't go out there with their little work hats and their lunch pails and go, honey, I'm going to work today, but a lot of bills to meet. They get food. Your Heavenly Father, these insignificant birds, he takes care of them. And so Jesus says in verse 31, therefore, because of this, now that you know this, therefore, do not worry saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things, do the Gentiles or the heathen seek? For your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Jesus says the heathen or the Gentiles seek after them. Unbelievers, people who do not know God, pursue after these things. They look to themselves to provide their own needs. I'm going to provide for the family. I'm going to take care. And their life is spent and revolved around food, clothing, shelter. They go out to provide for themselves. They don't know God. They don't trust that God will provide. What Jesus is saying is that to worry to this extent, to be so overly concerned, is on the same level as heathen unbelief, Gentile unbelief. Because what is worry anyway? Isn't worry just distrust? A lack of trust in God? When you worry and are perpetually concerned, you send a message out to God. You say, you're saying, in effect, God, I don't trust that you're faithful to provide. When you worry, that's what you're saying. You're saying, God, I just don't trust you. I don't believe this is going to happen. And so you worry. You try to figure out what you can do about it. For all these things do the Gentiles or the heathen seek after. For your Heavenly Father, he says, knows that you have need of all these things. And Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Jesus talked about what we shouldn't worry about. We shouldn't worry about basic essentials of life. Then Jesus tells us why we shouldn't worry about them. Because God has given you life and given you a body and he's able to take care of the lesser thing. God clothes them, he'll clothe you. But now Jesus gives the cure for worry. Okay, I'm a worrywart. What do I do about it? What's the cure? There's two of them. The first one is found in verse 26. He says, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And then notice verse 32. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. The first cure to worry is realizing that God is your Father. And this is one of the most important lessons in the Christian life and one of the lessons that many people fail. To realize God is their Father. And if you realize that he's not just God, yes, he is God. He's King, yes. He's Savior, yes. But first, he is your Father. That's comforting. And the first cure to worry is realizing the relationship you have with God is that of a father and a child, not God and a person, not king and servant. Yes, you are his servants, but first of all, a child to his father. And when you realize that, that God is your father, the father heart of God, when you realize that, that he'll take care of you, that he loves you that much, you will not worry about the basic commodities and essentials of life when you can realize the extent that God really loves you. In verse 32, he says, your father knows that you have need of all these things. Now, you fathers who have families, if your family was in need, they didn't have any food, and you also had a little dog in the backyard, and you knew that your family was in need and they didn't have any food or clothing, would you go out and buy dog food? Well, I gotta feed the pet. I mean, my dog is so important to me. Yeah, I know I have a family, but this dog, I've gotta feed this dog or my cat. You wouldn't do that any more than God would be so concerned about birds yet not concerned about you. Would your father be so concerned about birds but yet forget his children? No. So your father, realize that he's your father. That's the first step to a cure of worry. Realize that he is your heavenly father. That means that he has promised to take care of his children. You know, our big problem in the Christian life, and I'm sure you'll agree, is being able to handle the love of God. Be honest. It's hard to believe that God loves us as much as the Bible says he does. It's tough to handle the love of God. It's really hard to believe that God loves, and that's one of the basic reasons that people have bad esteem, low self-esteem. They don't realize God can really love them that much. It's hard to handle the love of God. Yet he does. God numbers the hairs of your head. Now that shows that God's a God of detail, doesn't it? Now why does God number the hairs of your head? Because he likes math? No. The Bible says that God numbers the hairs of your head to show you to what extent and to what detail God loves you. God loves you so much and is concerned about you so much that even the hairs of your head are numbered. That's love. That's hard to believe that God could love us that much, yet he does. So first, realizing the love of God. Second is in verse 33. And it's a question of priorities to overcome worry. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's a question of priority. It's a question of first things first. God is saying, in essence, you do your part, I'll do mine. You don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to be put on. I will take care of that. I'm the king. You're the servant. You concern yourself with seeking first the kingdom of God and my righteousness. I'll be concerned about providing for you all those things. So many people twist the scripture around and they do just the opposite. They seek all these things, food, clothing, and shelter. They seek all these things and they expect God to add the kingdom of God to them. God, I don't have enough time to go to Bible study tonight. I've got to worry about the rent. And so they're worried about all these things and expect God to add the kingdom unto them. Won't work. You've got to seek the kingdom and his righteousness. Then these things will be added unto you. What things? The things Jesus spoke about. What you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on. Now that's a good deal. if we would seek. Now, what does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God? Well, since God is the King and we are His servants, to seek first the kingdom is to more and more come under the authority and rule of the King. Or we're submitted to the King, seeking first His lordship in our lives, seeking to glorify the King. Jesus gives the analogy of a kingdom. In any kingdom, there's a king and there's servants. What's the servant's job to do in a kingdom? To serve the king. A servant, when he's serving a king in a kingdom, doesn't worry about his basic life commodities. Because that's the king's responsibility. If he's in the king's court and he's serving the king, he has only one responsibility. To make sure that the king is pleased, that he's obedient to the king. To glorify the king. The king's responsibility is to take care of his servants. Their servants' quarters and their servants' food and so forth. So if you seek first the kingdom, God will add all these things to you. So here's the cure. First, He's your Father. Second, He's the King and He takes care of you. And you seek His kingdom. But never mix the order. He's not first the King and then your Father. He's first your Father. That love, that intimate relationship. Then He's the King. Then Jesus ends and He says this. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, of all the people that were listening on that little mountain that day, of His disciples, there's one person that sticks out to me. And that's Peter. As I read this, I imagine this Peter sitting in the background, biting his nails, because he knows that he's busted for worrying. Because Peter was a classic worrywart. He worried about everything. He worried when he was in the ship that it was going to sink. Lord, we're going to sink. Don't you care? He worried a couple days later if they were going to pay taxes or not. Lord, they said we got to pay taxes. We don't have any money to pay taxes. Peter, go to the sea, get a fish. There's a coin in to pay the taxes. Don't worry. When Jesus told him that he was going to go up to Jerusalem and be crucified and suffer, he was worried. Oh, Lord, you can't do this. It won't work. And you're the king. And it won't. And he worried. And I can imagine Peter listening to this as Jesus is saying, don't worry about these things. Peter's going, oh. Right here. I always worry about them, Lord. But Peter changed. You remember at the beginning we quoted, cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. You know who penned that? Peter. He changed. He learned that carrying those stones around can be awfully cumbersome. And that he had to find someone to cast those things on so that he wouldn't worry. And he found that that was his Heavenly Father to cast all those things on. It says in Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. What is worry? It's a lack of trust, isn't it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and what? He'll direct your paths. He ends by saying, this will be health to your navel. Everyone wants a healthy navel. That's King James for saying nerves. Navel means nerves in King James. It will be health to your nerves. In other words, if you don't worry, if you follow what Jesus says and you can trust in the Lord, you'll never have a nervous breakdown. You'll never have ulcers. You won't be biting your nails. Because you'll be trusting. You won't be worrying. You'll know that your Heavenly Father takes care of them. It's like the familiar story, yet very descriptive story, of the tightrope walker who stretched his cable across the vast expanse of Niagara Falls. He walked across and back with his balancing pole in the midst of the falls as the falls sprayed all around him. Next, he walked across and back without the aid of his pole. Everyone burst into loud applause. The next trip was with a wheelbarrow. To the amazement and the delight of the crowd, he went all the way across, pushing the clumsy wheelbarrow with no difficulty at all. A wide-eyed little five-year-old boy was standing near the acrobat. Suddenly, the man looked right at the boy and smiled and said, son, I'm going to push the wheelbarrow back across the rope. Do you believe that I can do it? Yes, sir, I sure do. You mean to tell me that you have that kind of faith in me? You really believe that I can do it? Yep, I really do. Okay, son, then get in the wheelbarrow.
Who, me?
Lord, I trust you. I know that you'll take care of me for eternity. Well, then get in the wheelbarrow today. Stop worrying about your life. Stop letting that backpack get filled with stones so you're going, oh. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. If this morning, if you're burdened down, you're carrying the wrong one. Jesus is the one who wants to carry that backpack with all those stones and all those cares and all those burdens. He wants you to be light. See, because he can handle them, he can take care of them. So a burden should be like a hot potato. You get it, you can't handle it, you throw it out. And casting all our cares upon him. And seeking first the kingdom of God. Let's